In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life.
O Lord, open thou my lips. God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the latter time, the Lord has made glorious the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He grew up like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. He will swallow up the covering that is cast over all the peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the shame of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Thank you.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand
until I make your enemies your footstool."
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter.
Rule in the midst of your enemies.
Your people will offer themselves on the day of your power in holy gardens.
From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. It all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." This is our text. I'm often struck by how our Christmas hymns invite us to participate in the events of Christmas. We sing at times in the Christmas season words like these: "Come to Bethlehem and see. Come here, my friends, lift up your eyes and see what in the manger lies. Come, your hearts and voices raising. What an invitation for us to participate in these events of the birth of Christ. We may wonder, though, whether these invitations are for us. Is this really for me? Is it really and truly for me that he came? And the answer is yes. Most certainly, yes. It was for you, dear friend. And as we often say here, if it had been only you, Jesus would have gone to the exact same lengths he went to, being born in Bethlehem, dying on the cross, being laid in the grave, and rising from the dead. These words invite each and every one of us to join in the event of Christ's birth, to enter into this story, this history, this reality, this truth, and let it work on us. It is an invitation for us tonight to go to Bethlehem and to the manger and to the child, invited to watch with certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, invited to have the glory of the Lord shine upon you, invited to hear the angels' voices, invited to go with haste to Bethlehem and find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, just as you've been told. And yet, to all these invitations, we may ask, just where is this Bethlehem? Where are we to go? How do I find this manger? What swaddling cloths wrap this child now? Where is the babe, the son of Mary, today? I think those questions are in some ways even more acute this year than in years past, because if you were to go to Bethlehem, and I mean to actually go to the Bethlehem in the West Bank right now, what would you find? You would find little joy and less peace. You would find tension, anger, fear, conflict, and hopelessness. And there's already plenty of that here where we are. Maybe you've seen the recent headlines, they popped up for me. Bethlehem cancels Christmas. We're not celebrating. Christmas is canceled in Bethlehem. You would find gloomy streets, hushed and silent, not festive. We may well ask, what Grinch has ruined their Christmas this year? It is the Grinch that can ruin every single Christmas. Sin, death, the devil, the shadow of war and violence that hangs over it. And yet the reality is that even though Bethlehem, real Bethlehem today, may be lying in darkness, Christmas keeps going. It cannot end or cancel Christmas for anyone who is a Christian, because nothing can undo what God has done and accomplished in Christ. Our God remains Emmanuel, God with us, even amid the darkness and the hopelessness and the violence and the tension. The birth of Christ remains good news of great joy for all the people. Unto you, it says, you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find him. The scriptures speak this way to us, not just to the shepherds long ago, but to us today. What does it all mean? It means that our God really did come. And he really did come, not just to be there long ago, but to be with us now, today. No matter what we're going through, what we're experiencing, what the last year has meant for us or brought to us, it means that he's not far away in some distant land. He's not stuck in the past. He's not hiding in fear or buried in rubble or tucked into some corner. He's not irrelevant or outdated or done for. And he's not to be confused with warm feelings or some vague holiday spirit. Christmas declares to us again that our God is flesh and blood. Real as a pregnancy, with every ache and pain that a mother feels, as real as a newborn child with those cute little fingers and toes, as real as a toddler smiling, playing, and crying. And yet even more real than that, because it's not just smiles and cuteness with this child, but this one has come to bleed and to sweat, to shed tears, to bear a cross, to be laid in a grave. This is why, even as we have a little Jesus in a manger on the altar, we still have the crucifix above. This was the purpose for which he came, because he knew the darkness of the world in which we live, because he knew the cloud of death that hangs over us, because he knows the weight of sin that weighs down on us. You know, what the shepherds found when they went was not something that had a spotlight shining on it. It was not a child who was glowing or appeared extraordinary. What they found was something so simple, so ordinary, so everyday. A young woman, weary and exhilarated by childbirth. A stable that smelled like animals. And little Jesus, laid in a manger where animals feed, and wrapped in swaddling cloths like those that were used for the little lambs born on the nearby hills, the lambs destined for sacrifice at the temple. What we hear may sound simple too. It may even sound childish. Some of you may think that the Christmas story is a story for children, but a story to be outgrown. But it's not the case. This is a story for adults as well, because it is the truth of what God has done for you and for me. And I know some of us know it backwards and forwards. We could recite every line with Linus on the Peanuts Christmas. But do not be deceived by what we have here in the Holy Scriptures. These are the very words, the very works, the very deeds of our God, of his majesty and his power and his wisdom. What we find tonight is that Jesus has been laid for us in the Holy Scriptures. And if we would come to him, if we would come to Bethlehem or to the manger or to this child, we will come to him in no other way than through the very word of God, the word that we hear read, the word that we hear proclaimed. This is the wisdom of God, by which he makes foolish the wisdom of the world. You ought to consider the Holy Scriptures, the Bible that we have here, the Bible that you have in your own home, who knows how many Bibles in your home. We ought to consider this the greatest and most noble thing we have, our most precious treasure, because this holy book is where Christ is found now, where he makes himself known, where our Savior delivers himself and all his gifts to us. It is the richest mind that can never be sufficiently explored. And there you will find the wisdom of God, a wisdom that seems so simple it will rebuke our pride. Here you will find the swaddling cloths and the manger in which Christ lies. Here you will find the place to which the angels point the shepherds. Simple and lowly as these swaddling cloths are, the treasure within them is dear. Christ, who speaks to us in every word, in every page of the Holy Scriptures. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who came not only that he might be born for us, but that he might also carry the weight of this world on his shoulders and die for us. Dear friends, come this night Let your mind and imagination take you through the scriptures to Bethlehem and to your Savior Jesus Christ and to all that he has done and won for you. Join the shepherds and the angels. Fall on your knees. Sing his praises. Marvel at the wonder of God who became man for our sake. Don't close your heart to him. Don't stand far off with your arms crossed. Don't close your mind to him. Do not think that this is only for others or only for children. It is for you. And treasure in your heart the marvel that God has done in sending his Son to be born and to die and to be your Lord. And this day, glorify and praise your God with angels and archangels, with the whole company of heaven, and with the shepherds, telling others of what you have seen and heard of the one who is your Lord, born for you, and praise this day. To God be all glory and honor now and forever. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocence of suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Thank you. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Let us pray. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whose grace once again we celebrate our Savior's birth, we stand in your presence with holy joy because you have fulfilled the promises you made to our first parents after the fall, to the patriarchs, to Moses and the prophets, and to all your ancient people who waited for the salvation of Israel. Accept, we pray, our humble tribute of praise and thanksgiving, and grant that through your Son's birth, all of us here may be born again in our spirits to the blessed future of everlasting life. O Jesus, Son of God, we bless you for becoming flesh of our flesh and for making us rich beyond thought with overwhelming gifts from the treasures of your grace. You have made reconciliation for all sins so that now we have peace with God and entrance to the Father. You became the Son of Man to make us children of God in you. Give us all a pure, childlike faith to adore you in your lowliness, and give us grace to see the glory shining through the veil of your humanity, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Speak to us the words of life, that we may love you as you have loved us. Be our light in darkness, our plenty in need, and our ever-present help in trouble. And as you descended from heaven to earth to save us, give us power to ascend from earth to heaven, to the glory of your great and awesome name. O Holy Spirit, we praise you for your comfort and guidance. Turn our hearts to ponder deeply on the sublime mystery of God's birth as man, and help us to embrace our Redeemer in true faith as our most precious possession. Fill our hearts with his peace, his comfort, his life, his joy. Let us celebrate this feast so that when it ends, we will, with your blessing on us, take up again the burdens of our different callings, rejoicing in our salvation and delighting to do your will. O holy triune God, who would rather be praised for mercy than for justice, we glorify you, for you have turned your eyes toward the lowly. Let your covenant of peace endure forever, so that we may rejoice in you now and in the endless world to come. Amen.
Amen.
will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.